We are here to worship God. All the hymns and prayers, the offering, the scripture that's read, and the sermon, they all have a purpose. They are all done to help us worship God. Worship of God is not easy for us, for we are a self-absorbed people. We are bent inward, focusing almost entirely on ourselves. We spend our week consumed with what we need to do. What tasks do I need to accomplish? What work do I need to finish? What obligations must I meet? We have bills to pay, things to clean and cook, places to go, stuff to buy. We are busy, busy, busy. Perhaps the greatest challenge is that we've been taught in one way or another that the point of Sunday worship is us. That attitude is only natural in a culture that teaches us in so many ways to focus on ourselves. We are big into self-help and self-improvement. Media continually offers us way to improve our lives. Need to lose weight? Try this revolutionary new diet. Afraid of going bald? Buy this amazing new product. Do you want to feel better about yourself? Buy these designer clothes or this wonderful sports car. Want to feel better? Drink this beer. In such a world, it's natural that church is presented to you as just another means for getting whatever it is you think you must have. Worship becomes a kind of primitive technique that some people find helpful in getting whatever it is they want. Notice anything missing from this view of Sunday? It's God. Sometimes we're told that church is where we come to get our assignment for the week, our marching orders. Okay, people, if you really want to be Christians, this is what you need to do. Sometimes church is presented as a way to solve the problems that plague us. Are you feeling down or depressed? Come to church. You will feel better. Sometimes we see church as a source of guidance. Come to church and we will help you to determine the steps you need to take in the future. Family problems, marital issues, is work making you unhappy? Come to church. We can help you with those problems. Notice anything missing from this concept of church and worship? It's God. That makes this Sunday's assigned psalm all the more remarkable. Did you notice as we read Psalm 111? It's focused entirely, completely on God. It's almost as if the psalmist is saying, you have spent the whole week self-concerned, obsessed with your problems and your plans. Now, for a brief time, let's all get together and refocus ourselves upon something larger than ourselves. Let's focus on God. True worship is about God, not us. In worship, we are not bent inward. We are bent outward and upward toward God and others. Worship is about God. Let's look more closely at Psalm 111. The psalmist says, great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. We see the works of the Lord all around us in glorious splendor. Mountains and valleys and oceans and rivers, the beauty of the fall foliage. All living creatures and human beings, they are glorious creations, reflecting the glory of God. Glorious and majestic are His deeds. From a formless void, God created a bountiful, beautiful world. Then God showed us how to live in the words and the works of the law and the prophets. And then in the fullness of time, God sent His only Son to live among us. In Jesus, we see the face of God. And in His death and resurrection, we are saved from all that would harm us. His righteousness endures forever. Everything will die and pass away. Only the righteousness of God is forever. And because of God's righteousness, everything that is good will endure. He has caused His wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. God has given us a record of His goodness and love. In Holy Scripture, we are able to remember and to celebrate God's graciousness and compassion. We constantly failed as human beings, but God is always faithful. His love is always with us. The psalmist says He provides food for those who fear Him. He remembers His covenant forever. Every time we sit down to a meal, we should be reminded of God's faithfulness and love. For He provides it all. And God blesses us with His covenant promises to always be with us, to always supply our needs, and then through our faithfulness, to bless all nations. The psalmist says He has shown His people the power of His works, giving them the lands of other nations. God rescued His people, Israel, from slavery in Egypt, and then eventually led them to the promised land. He gave them the land of other nations because they were His chosen people. The works of His hands are faithful and just. All His precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, enacted in faithfulness and uprightness. We cannot trust in silver or gold. We cannot trust in other people. We can't even trust ourselves. But we can always, always trust God. He is always faithful. His ways are sure and certain. In Him we find the life that is life indeed. The psalmist says He provided redemption for His people. He ordained His covenant forever. Holy and awesome is His name. We don't need more information or knowledge. We don't need more power. We don't need more guidance. What we need is redemption. We are sinners, a fallen and broken people, and we need to be saved. We need to be made right with God, our Creator. And that's what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, His only Son. The covenant that He made with Abraham was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. We have a new covenant in Jesus. God promises us His love and salvation through Jesus Christ forever and ever. And our part is simply to accept that gift of love and salvation, and to give God our lives, to give Him our hearts. In Jesus we have the unconditional and eternal love of God. Holy and awesome is His name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow His precepts have good understanding. To Him belongs eternal praise. The fear of the Lord involves a profound sense of awe and reverence. We who are sinners fall before the Lord, only asking for His mercy. And when we do that, He showers His mercy upon us, raises us to our feet, and bestows the righteousness of Jesus upon us. We are able then to live in humble obedience to His will for our lives. And in our obedience, we bring praise and adoration to our God. So here we are today to worship God. May God bend us away from ourselves and bend us toward Him and toward others. May we see and experience God's glory in our own lives and then praise Him with all of our heart and mind and soul. To God belongs eternal praise. Would you join me in prayer? We know our praise is not adequate to give You the glory that You deserve. You are so glorious, so mighty and majestic, so holy and pure and powerful, so beautiful and so filled with love. Our minds can't conceive of how great You are. But please, Lord, accept our humble gifts of worship. Please bless each of us who are gathered here, who have taken time out of busy weeks to be in Your presence and to give You thanks as that one leper did. And Lord, may our praise grow more and more as we experience more of Your love. And may our praise overflow into the lives of others that we know. Help us to share the joy that You've given us, the joy of our salvation, with others who don't know You. May our lives be transparent in the joy and the love that You have given us, so others will see that and want it for themselves. Give us a song in our heart, a bounce in our step. Give us Your joy, Lord, as we praise Your name. Amen.